Good morning. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer before we go into our message. Blessed Holy Father, we come before you now in fellowship on the basis of the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. For we have no other righteousness but his imputed to us, whereby we may recommend ourselves to your gracious favor. And so, Lord, we know that our own righteous deeds are defiled and are as filthy rags, and we cannot, Lord, stand before your judgment on the basis of our own virtue, but only on the basis of Christ's righteousness for us. And so, Lord, we pray, please fellowship with us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, even as you have anointed us with your Holy Spirit and give us strength and power to purify ourselves through your word and help. And so, Lord, it is our aim and indeed our goal of life, Lord, to grow into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, to partake in this great work of sanctification which you have given to us with a wholeheartedness and with fear and trembling. Please bless the study of your word today to that end. For the sake of your Son, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing our series in Philippians, picking up where we left off in the fourth chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 23. Well, it's been over a year since we began this series in Philippians, and today we have finally reached this epistle's final verse. The Apostle Paul closes this glorious letter much in the way he introduced it, with a reference to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:2, we read in the beginning of this epistle, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And now here, in the final verse of Philippians in chapter 4, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." In this final verse of Philippians, we are reminded that if we are in Christ, we are now objects of his grace, his unmerited favor. The Lord looks upon all who have been redeemed by him with grace, with unmerited favor. We don't deserve his favor. We've not merited it. Because all have sinned, all deserve God's judgment and holy wrath. Because of our sins, the gospel tells us that we were at one time alienated from God and separated from Christ. But because Christ bore our sins in his body and took the punishment we deserve upon himself on the cross, God's wrath towards us, towards all who have received through faith the gift of what Christ has done, has been propitiated, has been satisfied, and turned into favor. And having been reconciled to God and adopted as his children, we also have been engrafted into Christ's own body so that he now regards us as he does no other. He regards us with his sanctifying favor. He cherishes us and nourishes us spiritually as indispensable parts of his own body. If we are in Christ, his grace is with our spirits, and that is why he is concerned to renew our spirits into his likeness. 2 Corinthians 4:16, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Our outer self is wasting away. Our bodies are dying even as we speak. And we will one day molder in the grave until the day our Lord raises our bodies up. But until that promised day, our bodies are wilting away. That is a contrast to what is happening to our spirits. Our inner self is growing into the likeness of our Lord. Our inner self is growing towards the perfection that is promised to us. As objects of His favor, our Lord is sanctifying us. He is nourishing and training us as His own. And the time is coming when our spirits, like all our brothers who have fallen asleep before us, will be made perfect in holiness when we depart and go to heaven. Hebrews 12, 22 to 23. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. So that time is coming when our spirits will be made perfect. Brethren in Christ, the favor of our Lord is with our spirits. Jesus is profoundly concerned with our inward renewal. And as we were shown earlier in this epistle, if you think back, we are not passive in that process of renewal. Our sanctification, as we've emphasized throughout this series, is a joint effort between God and ourselves. The Lord won't do the work of renewal for us, but He will do the work of renewal with us. And that is because His grace is with our spirits. That is because He cares for us as objects of His favor and takes pleasure in our training and renewal. Philippians 2, 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So, once again, we're reminded in Philippians 2:12 that we have work to do in Christ. Of course, many of us know, or should know by now, that justification is not our work. Justification is wholly a work of Christ, which He finished on our behalf on the cross. We receive that finished work by faith. We are justified once for all the moment we trust in Christ for eternal life. Sanctification, on the other hand, does involve our work. It is God's work and our work, a joint effort. Justification is salvation from sin's penalty. Sanctification is salvation from sin's pollution. And that is a process of moral transformation. That is something we must work out with the help of God and Christ. And so that's why we read in verse 12 of Philippians 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. What do we handle in our own lives with fear and trembling? Think about that for a moment. What do we handle in our own lives with fear and trembling? When my baby son was a newborn infant, I handled him with fear and trembling. He's so precious, yet at that time so fragile. People handle invaluable antiques with fear and trembling because of how much they're worth. They don't want to scuff it. They don't want to ding it. It's so valuable. And yet, do we handle our own sanctification with fear and trembling? Sometimes we handle our own sanctification rather carelessly. We think it's no big deal to scuff it up. We think it's no big deal to ding it. We are inattentiveness on account of our heedless stumbles. Well, we're told in Philippians 2 to handle our own sanctification with fear and trembling. It's so valuable. It's the most important work we could possibly do. Elsewhere, the Apostle Paul said he preached the gospel with an attitude of fear and much trembling. 1 Corinthians 2, 3 to 4. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The task of preaching the gospel was so important to the Apostle Paul that he approached it with fear and much trembling. Quite the contrast to the kind of glib and casual attitude we see so many people preach with from the pulpits of today. When the Apostle Paul preached the gospel, he preached with a profound solicitude to the point of trembling. Make no mistake, he was bold in his preaching, but he was not cavalier in his preaching. He was forthright in his preaching, certainly, but not facile. He approached the task of preaching on account of its importance with fear and much trembling. And this gives us an idea of how we are to approach our own sanctification. It's the most important work we can engage in. But we need not be terrified in view of its greatness, because if we are in Christ, as our text reminds us, his grace is with our spirits. Our Lord cares about our spirits beyond measure and will help us with its nurture and development. On our part, what must we do? For we read in Philippians 2 that we must approach our spiritual development and growth with fear and trembling, with sober attentiveness. One of the reasons we're to handle our sanctification with utmost care is because we are under the scrutiny of the unbelieving world. And as we pointed out in last week's message, how we live will verify to them the transformational claims of the gospel. I wonder how many of us are a rather poor witness of the gospel because we are too glib, too careless about our own sanctification. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We're too concerned about working out our own earthly successes and not concerned enough about working out our own sanctification. How many of us can hone in on the faults of others like a moth to a flame, but fail to deal with our own faults with the same degree of ruthlessness? And then we wonder why our spiritual growth seems so stunted and our personal ministry to others so anemic. Brethren, in Christ, effective sanctification requires the right attitude, an attitude that treats this work of utmost importance with sober care and attentiveness. It also, in addition to requiring the right attitude, requires the right method. We read in 2 Samuel 5 that when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up to battle against him. 2 Samuel 5, 17 to 21. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood." Therefore the name of that place is called Baal Perazim. And the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. The Lord assured David that he would prevail against the Philistines. So David fought them and defeated them with the Lord's help. Well, the Philistines rebounded from their defeat and spread out their army in the valley of Rephaim as before. And once again, David inquired of the Lord. But this time, the Lord gave him very specific directions for his second battle against the Philistines. So you read on in 2 Samuel 5, 22 to 25. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "You shall not go up. Go around to their rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself, for then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines." And David did as the Lord commanded him, and struck down the Philistines from Geba to Gezer. The Lord was with David in his conflict with the Philistines. David had the Lord's favor, but he also had to follow the Lord's directions for obtaining victory. His effort by itself was insufficient. He needed to follow the Lord's directions. So also, we need more than raw effort. We need more than good intentions to win our spiritual battles and grow effectively. We also need to follow the Lord's directions regarding the method for spiritual battle. As we bring our series in Philippians to a close, let us remember to rely on the Lord's method for our spiritual growth, for our sanctification. Let us remember to depend on His Word, because the Lord tells us that His Word is able to build us up. Acts 20, verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So let's remember to depend on His Word. That's the Lord's method. Let us remember to depend on prayer, because effective sanctification is a request of utmost priority. And we can be sure that our sanctification is always the Lord's will for us. Philippians 4:6, the beginning of this chapter in Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And sanctification is a request of utmost importance. So we ought to make that request made known to God daily. Then we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. No matter what we are going through, no matter what our season is in life, the will of God for us is always our sanctification. So we can be sure about that. No matter what we're confused about, the Lord wills our sanctification. Then we read in 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, we know, based on what we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, that His will for us is always our sanctification. So if we pray for the Lord's help and enablement for our sanctification, we can take confidence that the Lord hears our prayer. So let us remember to depend on prayer. That is also a part of the Lord's method for spiritual battle. Finally, let us remember to depend on the fellowship of Christ's body. Because as we've emphasized repeatedly throughout this series, Christ nourishes us through His various parts, the other members of His body. Colossians 2:19, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Christ nourishes His whole body through its joints and ligaments, its various parts. So what does that tell us? It tells us that we are never meant to go at our sanctification alone. We need the encouragement of our fellow brethren in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Well, that's pretty much the same thing that we read in Colossians 2:19. Christ nourishes His body through His various parts. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, we are to encourage one another because when we do, we're building one another up in our sanctification. The Apostle Paul, for all his knowledge and authority, expected to be encouraged by the faith of his fellow brethren in Christ. He genuinely sought spiritual benefit from his fellow saints, even though he was the Lord's apostle. See, so we read in Romans 1, verse 11 to 12. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Is that our attitude when we come among the church? I'm here for mutual encouragement. See, the Apostle Paul didn't put himself up on a pedestal. He didn't lord it over the church. He didn't look down his noses at all the common believers and his lowly brethren in the church. He considered these believers at Rome a benefit to his own sanctification. He wanted to hear from them and be sharpened by their faith in Christ, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. As Martin Lloyd-Jones once stated, if ever a man had reason to be puffed up and to think he was marvelous and wonderful and superior to everybody else, it was this amazing, mighty man of God in visions and experiences and usefulness and suffering in every respect. He does stand out preeminently. And yet it is this man who knows what it is to be carried up into the third heaven and to learn and to hear something of the language of paradise, which is unrepeatable because of its glory. That is the man who, writing to these ordinary, simple Christians in Rome, many of whom were but the servants in Caesar's household, says that he is looking forward tremendously to being with them. He has got a great deal to tell them and to give them, yes, but he's looking forward equally to listening to what they have got to say. He wants to hear their experiences. He wants to know what they have received of the Lord and how the Lord has led them on. He is longing. He knows it is going to be a stimulus to him and an enrichment to his life. His heart is going to be warmed. He is going to be a man who is going to derive a great benefit. Brethren in Christ, let us always remember that the Lord's method for our sanctification involves the mutual encouragement that goes on within his body. The Lord nourishes us through the various parts of his body. No matter how knowledgeable we may be, no matter how experienced, no matter how mature, we need the encouragement of our fellow parts in the body of our Lord. If someone as godly and effective as Paul longed to be encouraged by his fellow brothers in Christ, so should we long for it as well, that we might be spiritually built up through their faith in the gospel, the one true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. From whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Let's pray. Blessed Holy Father, we thank you that if we have been redeemed by faith in your Son, that his grace and your grace is with our spirit. That your unmerited favor is towards us. And we see the evidence of that favor when you sanctify us by your word and by your power. And so, Lord, we pray that as we're taught by your word to regard our own sanctification with fear and trembling, that we will not regard it glibly, that we will not regard it carelessly. We handle so many things in our own lives with fear and trembling because of how valuable and important these things are to us, how much more the work you have given us, the work that we engage in alongside you, this joint effort of our own sanctification. And so, Lord, we pray that we would regard this precious work with utmost alacrity and vigilance and sobriety, and to handle it with fear and trembling. We know that no matter where we are in our circumstances, and we know that no matter the question marks in our lives presently, there is one area of our life that never has a question mark, and that is your will for our sanctification. And as we have been taught by your word, we pray that we will not only approach our sanctification with the right attitude, but also with the right method. We can't win this battle just through sheer effort and good intention alone, but we need to follow your directions, just as David had to follow your directions in order to win his battle against the Philistines. You have given us specific directions for our sanctification, and Lord, we have touched upon them briefly in this message. So we pray that we would always rely on your word. We pray that we will always rely on prayer. And we pray that we will always rely on our fellow brethren in Christ, who are the various parts of the body of your Son, because it is through them, through their faith in the gospel of your Son, the one true gospel, that we receive encouragement, so that through that encouragement we may be built up and gain benefit. Just as it was true for the Apostle Paul, so it is true for us today. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.